And that kind of leads into, you know, COVID really hit March 2020. And that was when Congress passed the CARES Act that Sean's talking about. You guys all remember the CARES Act. Did a lot of things. It's a 900-page bill. But, you know, that was rolled out very quickly, extremely quickly. And it did a lot of things very well. It gave it gave America a huge lift that we really needed, and don't know what things would have looked like but for some of the provisions that were made in the CARES Act. But you know, if you think about how it impacted what we do, banking law, banking litigation, bankruptcy law, the mortgage servicing industry in general, it rolled a few things out very quickly, and maybe hadn't thought about what the impacts of those things were going to be, but still think it was a good thing. So, you know, if you look at the dates, it was actually signed into law by a president on March 27th. The effective date for the moratoria under the CARES Act was 10 days prior to the effective date, or to the date it was signed. So it started the moratoria that we've been dealing with for the last 20 months on March 27th. And that's where it starts getting into, all right, so, and does anybody remember how long that initial moratorium on foreclosures was? Anybody?
This is your Jeopardy question for the afternoon. Gosh.
May 31st, that's right. It was the initial one was, and it's another one of those things where it's like the naivety in everybody's mind at that time, it was a 60-day moratorium. Because it was, the thinking was, 60 days, this is going to blow over. It's like a bad flu. This was not a bad flu. So, Dominic, thanks. That's exactly right. It was a two-month moratorium. And you know, as Sean was speaking about the six-month forbearances, you know, this is where Kirsch said that, you know, it was very broad and very sweeping. Loss mitigation programs have always been out there. Homeowner assistance programs. Foreclosure's the last result. No bank, no servicer wants to go there. That's the last place they want to go. But the way these forbearances rolled out, typically under prior Reg X at the time and under RESPA, you could request forbearances, and they were very document intensive. You had to provide a lot of stuff to your bank in order to entitle you to those loss mitigation programs. Under the CARES Act, all you had to do is say, I have been directly or indirectly negatively impacted by the COVID-19 virus, and you were entitled to that forbearance. Now, initially, it was a 6 month. You were entitled to 6 months. All you had to do was raise your hand. If at the end of that 6 month period, you were still facing financial hardship directly or indirectly related to the COVID-19 pandemic, you could raise your hand again and you got another 6 month forbearance. So that was kind of how it initially rolled out. Anything I missed on that?
No, I just want to add that as the bill was progressing, we were at my office, at my work, we were watching every day. We got a new version to have to read through. So I'd search for the word bankruptcy or foreclosure and read through the statute. And once it was signed that Friday, we had to build out how borrowers would talk to us. And so over the course of 48 hours, and I've never seen this, Judge Usher knows about technology when it comes to mortgage servicers. Sometimes it takes them a while to get things together. In 48 hours, we had built a web portal to be able to let borrowers log in, check off the boxes that they attest that they've been impacted and how they've been impacted. And then that was it. And we set it up, we would put their loan under a forbearance plan, and we would start sending out letters. It took a lot of work, and a lot of people came together to get it done. But it was a very amazing feat that we were able to put it together so quickly. But it was raise your hand. I've been impacted, and you were given a forbearance.
Some people were given forbearances that did not even raise their hand. They simply asked for further information, and bada bing, bada boom, they suddenly had a forbearance of which they were not aware. A lot of people were scrambling around. Trustees were scrambling around trying to figure out how we were going to handle this, particularly in conduit jurisdictions. Judges were scrambling around trying to figure out what the best approach going forward was going to be for the people in these circumstances. And I actually think that Cole's description of this when we were talking about all this is a really good one. We're going to worry about the fire right now and we'll deal with the water damage later. And so we were trying to get people over that initial hump, and now we are dealing with the water damage issue. And it's a very interesting issue because people who have received forbearances have now come to the end of the forbearance periods. And one thing the CARES Act did not address at all is what do you do now? Typically, when somebody has a forbearance and they get to the end of the forbearance period, they're supposed to pay the money back. And generally speaking, in a lump sum. And every once in a while, somebody might qualify for some sort of deferral.